Our first scripture lesson this morning is from 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. The Lord calls Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and he said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening."
Our second lesson comes from Luke chapter 19. It's the story of Zacchaeus. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and rich. He sought to see who Jesus was, but could not on account of the crowd because he was small of stature. So Zacchaeus ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received Jesus joyfully. And when the crowd saw it, they all murmured, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house. Zacchaeus is also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And the third of our stories for today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because you have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid them." Saying thus, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and said to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that Jesus had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
We've all had this experience. You're walking down the street in a strange place. You're absorbed by what's around you, or perhaps completely absorbed by what's going on in your own head. There are people all around you talking, shouting, laughing, whatever. And then suddenly, someone calls out your name. You stop dead in your tracks, completely startled out of what you were thinking about, and turn to see who could possibly know you in this place. That's the power of being called by name. Some of my favorite Bible stories revolve around people being literally or figuratively called by name. The disciples were called by their profession. The woman at the well was called by her personal history. Moses heard the voice of the Lord call him by name from the burning bush. Simon gains a new destiny and a new insight into the nature of Jesus when Christ changes his name to Peter. And then there is Saul on the road to Damascus. Each was called as an individual with all their faults as well as their talents, and they were called personally in detail. In the first of our scripture readings this morning, Samuel is a small boy working as a servant to Eli, the head priest of the temple in Jerusalem. Samuel has been brought to the temple as an infant, dedicated to serve the Lord all his life from his mother's gratitude for being granted a child after years of barrenness. There's a whole other topic to be explored, the devotion, faith, and selflessness to give up your child when you've finally been able to see him born. Samuel's a dutiful child, but there is nothing in the scriptures to say he was particularly brilliant. Eli, the chief priest, had the misfortune to have his two sons be stinkers. The tradition of hereditary priesthood was jeopardized by their inappropriate behavior, and Eli was troubled. Samuel had helped Eli to bed and then gone to his pallet for the night. He's awakened by a voice calling him by name. And as the only person there was Eli, he runs to see what the old man needed. "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." It happens a second time and a third. Eli finally realizes that something special is going on and instructs Samuel, if it happens one more time, to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." I've always thought how terrifying and exciting it would be as a young child, oh, let's be honest, at any age, to think that the Lord is calling you by name in the watches of the night. And on the fourth time, Samuel receives instruction from the Lord and is on his way to becoming a prophet and chief priest. Then there's Zacchaeus. Haven't you wondered how Jesus even knew his name? We are told Zacchaeus was a rich man and a tax collector. Those things usually went together, as tax collectors were notoriously corrupt. They were required to collect the amount of tax for Rome, but if they managed by whatever means to collect more than that, they could keep the extra. So most collected well more than was required, using the threat of imprisonment for non-payment as pressure on the people. So to say they weren't popular would be an understatement. They were despised, feared, and viewed as the morally lowest of the low, not just outsiders, but ostracized. And then Jesus calls Zacchaeus by name and invites himself over to the house for the night. The shock was palpable, not just to Zacchaeus, but to everyone who heard Jesus. The onlookers wonder how Jesus could know Zacchaeus' name, but not his reputation. Surely this prophet wouldn't be choosing to go to that house if he knew who and what Zacchaeus was. And Zacchaeus is overjoyed and transformed. We learn that he will not only pay restitution, but more than he owes to anyone he has cheated. The implication in the story is that Zacchaeus has turned his life completely around, the precise definition of repentance, in response to Jesus's call. And Jesus rounds out the story by reminding everyone, including us, that his task is to see and to save the lost, no matter who or where or the nature of their lostness. And finally, Mary. Mary is a devoted follower of Jesus, an apostle in her own right, if the writers of Scripture could have allowed that. She has the courage to go to the grave early in the morning, so filled with love for Jesus that she urgently wants to wash and prepare his dead body for a suitable burial. In our modern world, few of us handle dead bodies anymore. It's a task for professionals. But for thousands of years, it was the final act of love of the women in the household to wash and prepare their loved ones for the final journey to the grave. Mary is heartbroken and determined to do all she can for Jesus. The tomb is empty, and there are two angels sitting where the body laid. Amazingly, Mary neither faints nor runs away. She's so single-minded in her love for Jesus that she talks to the angels as if they were just ordinary people. Then she turns and sees a man outside. She runs up to see if he knows where the body is. Now, we've all had this experience too. The experience of not recognizing someone we know well if we see them out of context. Often it's when they say our name that we recognize who it was. In Mary's context, it would be impossible for Jesus to be standing there, so he had to be a gardener. And then Jesus calls her name, and her world is changed forever. She has a new understanding of all that Jesus told the disciples before his death, and she has been given a ministry by him to go and tell the others. Three stories out of many in the Bible where the linchpin of the story is being called by name. So what about in our world? What does it mean to be called by name? It is a recognition that we have value as an individual, that we are our own unique selves. And in order to call someone by name, we must recognize them, often by looking right into their eyes, particularly in these mask-wearing days of the last 16 months. And by looking into their faces, into their eyes, we see reflected the face of God. I can think of no better way to approach an appreciation that every person is made in God's image than to look deeply into the face of each person we meet. My husband Kevin's Aunt Regina was a Mary Knoll sister, stationed in Hawaii for over 60 years. She was a school teacher, an administrator, the person who prepared the parish church for early mass every day, even well into her 90s, and for a while, the IT coordinator for the Bishop of Honolulu. Smart, talented, modest, but very direct and clear thinking, she also had an amazing power to bring out the godly in everyone she met. What a superpower. Every time I had a business trip to Asia, I would find some reason to route it through Honolulu for a day or two to spend some time with her. I watched her on so many occasions meet a new person. She would look deeply into their eyes, often taking their hand and asking them to tell her their name. And in repeating their name back to them, I saw that she had found the image of God within them, and that they saw it too. The way people interacted with her was breathtaking and inspiring, and they never forgot her. Going to lunch with her was a really long process because everyone in the whole restaurant wanted to come up to speak to her. Now, you knew there had to be a food pantry story in here someplace. One of the things we try very hard to do is to learn our returning clients' names and their faces so that we can call them by name before they tell us their names at registration. It's been a challenge with only seeing eyes and hair for the last year, but it's also turned into a bit of a game. There are some clients who will sit in the car just waiting to see if we can do it, and we all have such a good laugh together, whether or not we actually pulled the names out of our mental files in time. For most clients, the minute you call them by name, the look of surprise, joy, delight, that we took the time to really look at them, to see who they are, to care who they are and to recognize their uniqueness, I truly believe that this has lasting value far beyond the 3 days' worth of food they're going to pick up at the next station in the pantry line. We've often heard the same advice from the Midnight Run organization, that it is in conversing with those who are experiencing homelessness that the real value is created. Although hot soup, sandwiches, and clean, dry socks are also very important. So let's try it this week. Start with the grocery clerk or the receptionist at the doctor's office. Look in their eyes, call them by name if they're wearing a name tag, and see what happens. It even works on the phone. Next time you call a helpline, write down on a little piece of paper what the person said their name was and use their name in your conversation with them and in thanking them at the end. You'll be gratified by how delighted they are, and they will have had one interaction in what must often be a long and thankless day where they were recognized as an individual who has worth, who has the image of God within them. In Isaiah 43, it is written, "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." May it be so.